Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is strongly denying allegations of sexual assault against him while in high school or college. But a lot of the conversation since those allegations came to light has been about how that drunken behavior, described as holding a hand over a girl's mouth while trying to undress her, or exposing oneself and forcing a man part in a woman's face, is just what boys do. Conservative commentator Stephen Miller tweeted out, "This isn't sexual assault. It's drunk teenagers playing 7 minutes in heaven." Gina Sosa, a Republican Trump supporter, said this on CNN.
"We're talking about a 17-year-old boy in high school with testosterone running high. Tell me what boy hasn't done this in high school. Please, I would like to know."
In other words, boys will be boys. But what message does that send to girls who might be assaulted today? And what does it say about boys? One college course asked young men to say what a good man was. They said caring and kind, but a real man? They said he was a risk taker, a rule breaker. Cliff Leek is a professor of sociology at the University of Northern Colorado, also the president of the National Association of Men's Studies. Yes, it's a recent thing. He joins us by Skype. Professor, what's been your thinking as you've heard this national dialogue?
Yeah, so this national dialogue around this phrase, boys will be boys, and using that to excuse negative behavior from boys and young men is certainly not something new. But what I've always found interesting about it is that we never use the phrase boys will be boys to discuss positive things that boys do. It's almost exclusively used to write off or explain away when boys misbehave. So it's actually reinforcing the idea that that sort of misbehavior, including serious offenses, are what we should expect from boys. And to even take it a step further, it almost frames it as if to imply that those behaviors are actually what make boys boys.
There is a confusion about what a real man and a good man is.
Right. And I think that that's a justifiable confusion given the way that we raise young boys and men. So for example, I did an activity in my sociology of gender class just yesterday where I asked my students to tell me stories about the best men that they know. And we created a whole list of traits that describe those men. We got, you know, honest, caring, fatherly, all that sort of thing, right? And then I asked students, when we hear things like be a man or grow a pair or man up, what sort of behaviors are we trying to get boys to engage in? And it's never the same things that we get on the list of what makes a good man. It's always to shut down boys' emotions, to get them to take unhealthy risks. Even though we have this ideal of what makes a good man, the sorts of things and behaviors that we reinforce as manly to boys are not what we expect from good men.
Well, and in this, boys will be boys, this is just what people do. Even Judge Kavanaugh said in his interview on Fox last night, everybody drank in high school. Everybody, got out of control in high school with drinking. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He went on to say, but these are allegations of sexual assault, and again, denied them. But even there, I've been hearing from young people and older men saying, please, not everybody does that.
Yeah, absolutely. This idea that everybody engages in this, it's the parallel to the boys will be boys language, right? If we say that everybody engages in it, then what we actually do is we take the majority of people who don't engage in it and make them into the outcasts. This language of everybody engages in it is really just a way of trying to normalize one's own negative behavior and somehow make everybody else seem like they're the ones that aren't normal and they're the ones that aren't okay.
Well, and just to underscore this, the name Mark Judge has come up quite a bit. He was a classmate of Brett Kavanaugh's at Georgetown Preparatory School. Christine Blasey Ford, who alleges that she was attacked by Kavanaugh in a bedroom at a party, he was very drunk, said that Mark Judge was laughing maniacally while it was going on. He's gone on to be somebody, a writer, who's actually celebrated the drunken life that he had in high school. His memoir was Wasted Tales of a Gen X Drunk. It features a character, Bart O'Kavanaugh, who passes out on his way back from a party. The quote he chose for his high school yearbook page was, "Certain women should be struck regularly like a gong." And then there is that high school yearbook on Brett Kavanaugh's page. He writes about a pledge of 100 kegs or bust. And he's one of several young men who talk about a woman named Renata. There's a group photo of football players. They call themselves the Renata alumni. Kavanaugh's in that picture. He also has it on his own personal page. Reportedly a reference to a young woman, Renata Schroeder, who was a student at a nearby Catholic girls' school. And another man who was at the school at the same time, Sean Hagan, says I can't express how disgusted I am with them then and now. He claims it was an insinuation by all of these football players on their pages in the yearbook that they had made a conquest of this woman. She's now released a statement saying how hurt and horrified she is by this. This kind of stuff was endorsed by adults. It's there in a yearbook.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what's fascinating about not just these elite private all-male schools, but also all-male spaces in general, they tend to emphasize a sense of brotherhood. And that brotherhood is sometimes explicitly, but usually implicitly, at the exclusion and expense of girls and women. And oftentimes those bonds between men are forged over things like the conquest of women.
Well, but okay, you talk about these all-male spaces like teams, but again, doesn't it also not only paint all men and all boys with the same brush, that so that, you know, as one teen said to me, you know, people are looking at me like I do this, I don't do this, mm-hmm. but it also demeans them. It tells men and young boys, we don't have the confidence in you to behave differently.
Yes, absolutely. So there's numerous men out there that for whom this boys will be boys mentality doesn't resonate, for whom our traditional ideas of what masculinity is and what men are supposed to be like doesn't resonate, right? And we send those boys the message that they aren't real boys or they aren't real men because they aren't conforming with those ideas. And we apply all sorts of social pressures to try to encourage boys to conform with those ideas, whether that be bullying or harassment or telling them to man up or grow a pair. These are all ways that we socially try to encourage boys to conform to that, even when it doesn't resonate with so many of us. I would say that there's really two major challenges that face all of us boys for whom this doesn't resonate. The first challenge is being introspective to recognize when and how our own behaviors conform to these ideas, when and how our own behaviors harm others, and recognize where we can make changes in our own lives. Challenge number two, I would say that we face is the challenge to not be complicit, to not see these things happening around us and be silent. So our silence can be taken as support or assent for these sorts of behaviors. So it's really important for us to speak out and not be bystanders, right? So when we see these things that we recognize as problematic, and we recognize, you know, as the man who went to school with Kavanaugh said, you know, I was disgusted by those behaviors then and now. That's a challenge that I think we all face, all of us men who are in these positions, is to do something about it in the moment.
You know, how do you do that? Say mm-hmm. you're sitting down at the dinner table with your kids tonight. Let's say maybe you did have behavior in high school and college you're not proud of now. Do you mm-hmm. own it and say that? Do you admit to doing it in order to tell your kids not to?
I would say that, yes, that's exactly what we do. I will come out and say, you know, I did have moments in high school, and I went to an elite private all-boys school, much like Kavanaugh did. And I did have moments in my career in high school where I made choices that I'm not proud of. And I've done what I can to try to make amends for that. And I think that that's exactly the conversation that we need to be having with young boys and young men.
Well, you know, I also think, judging from a reaction I got at the gym this morning from many older men, mm-hmm. maybe also saying, I didn't do that. And mm-hmm. it doesn't happen everywhere.
Yes, I think that we've all engaged in things that we weren't proud of in our youth, right? But it's not all to the extent that what we're hearing about Judge Kavanaugh. So I think we can all own up to the ways, big and small, where we have engaged in this behavior. But in terms of doing things like the sexual assault that Judge Kavanaugh is accused of, we should absolutely stand firm and say, no, not everyone did engage in that. And that is extreme. And that is unacceptable.
Yeah. Professor Cliff Leek, he teaches sociology at the University of Northern Colorado. His upcoming book is Boy, Oh Boy, which reimagines what boys will be boys means by highlighting men who behave outside the confines of these stereotypes that really seem to be not freeing for men, but prisons for them. Professor Leek, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And by the way, if you're a boy of color not at an elite school, you'd be in jail.
Yes, abso-frickin-lutely. You know, what happens at my high school stays at my high school. That doesn't apply to folks who aren't at elite prep schools. Yeah. I can't imagine any of my students who are students of color getting away with saying what happens at my high school stays at my high school.
Yeah. Professor, thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.